Blog Talk Radio.
Westchester County right now, and I'm doing my show from there, Westchester County, New York. And of course, needless to say, yes, Esther went with me. Don't worry about that. I didn't leave her out of this. And I'm doing a little whirlwind tour of Westchester. Wow, I got the people calling in from different places. You know, the thing is, I don't remember. And I got a couple of restaurants. I have somebody from tourism, thank goodness. But I went a bunch of places. I took Metro North coming up here. And before I get into that, of course, you know. Now, I don't know what's going on with the Sharks because I'm busy with this. The Sharks play their first game today. Not only did the Sharks play their first game, but USA Football finally let loose on the roster. And now we can announce the 6 players from the New York Sharks who will be part of the team from IWFL that's going to play in the International Women's Tackle Football Tournament at the end of June in Sweden. I wish I had the names in front of me. I know Jen Blum is going. Jen Blum has been playing forever with the Sharks. And she's a wide receiver. I am assuming she's going to do that there. Our star quarterback, Karen Mulligan, has been chosen. Melissa Pickett, I remember that. I remember her name. Adrian Smith is going. I think it was Adrian is actually the person who, and it was just a coincidence. I mean, they didn't pick people because of this. Adrian is the one who got the other 2 players on with her on that show, Bank of Hollywood, that got the $65,000. Let's see. And I guess there was one more. I'm drawing a blank. I'll probably look and go, oh, of course. But anyway, so that's what's going on. I would imagine that the game is over, playing Philadelphia. After the show, I will find out what score it is. Hopefully, I'll find out what it is. I want to see if they. I'm hoping that they won the first game. Start out with that. But in the meantime, before I go into stuff, it's stuff into talking here. It's commercial time.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
You can get these wonderful, delicious brownies on brownies.com. Wow, I just finished, and I will have, I just finished having dinner over at a restaurant called 80 West, and I believe that the chef will be on later to talk to us about what we put down our throats. It was just so good, but I think too much food. We did a tasting there. We meaning I was with each day I was with somebody else from Westchester Tourism, and today I was with Kim, and Kim will call in at some point. And yesterday I was with Lydia Roots. So I took Metro North coming up here. They have some wonderful. They have packages to do, so you can. You can take the take the train, relax, go from Grand Central Station, and if you check out, I guess Metro North. I don't know if it's metronorth.com. I don't know, but hey, Google Metro North, and you'll get this, and you see these little getaway packages that they have. But so we're going up, and first we stop at 125th Street. Station, and I guess the train went a little too far, not that much far past the station, but and not even past, whatever, but it backed up a little bit. Okay. But then we get to the station, Bedford Hills, and I'm looking out the window, and we've just about totally passed the station, and the train finally stopped, and it had to totally back up. Now, definitely going to find out what's going on. Who was at the wheel, so to speak? I want to find out whether the conductor, was he texting at the time? Was somebody else driving the train? Was it bring your kid to work day? But I have every intention of finding out. Because it's not like... if there's a red light and you trip the signal for the red light, this is based upon the conductor. Even if it's computerized, I mean, it shouldn't go past the station. Somebody has to be driving it. So I'll find that out. And, okay, so, it's been whirlwind days. And let's see. So when I first arrived, I arrived in the town of Katonah, K-A-T-O-N-A-H, as opposed to Catatonic, which I wasn't yet. I arrived in Katonah. And went to the Katonah Museum. Okay, the museum, and I'm guessing this is all the time. The museum is, I guess, a museum of puppetry. It's all about, all about puppets, and not the big ones too. They weren't having a show. I suppose it would have been better if they had a show. But they basically, that PR person, I'll tell you, their PR person like sort of said, and had us just go on our own. We went into the rooms and kind of looked at the puppets and stuff. There were a lot of kids there. They learn how to make puppets. It's really cool for kids. I mean, it's cool for kids. It's, interesting for adults as well, but it's cool for kids. And I asked her if she'd like to be on the show. Not enough notice, she said. Not enough notice. I mean, like, just, you know, pick up your phone, call in on the internet, and that's it. But that's okay. Then the next place I went to, I'm going to have the person's call, I'm supposed to call in, so I'm not going to talk about Caramore. We'll have that person call in. See who else. What, went to the Hudson River Museum. It's okay. I'm hoping, like, you know, when Kim calls, she'll probably better explain it to you. I don't know how to explain the museum. It's just located on the Hudson River versus, you know, all about the Hudson River. But I have to get some water. I'm going to take a break right here and play a song. One of my favorites from Hair.
We starve, look at one another, short of breath, walking proudly in our winter coats, wearing smell from laboratories, facing a dying nation.
We start.
let that sunshine come in, please. Well, we've had some hot days. Today was pretty, it was just kind of windy, and everybody knows. And I all I had to wear was my Sharks windbreaker. That's yeah, and it was great for any time I needed to break wind. And as opposed to my Sharks heavier jacket. So back to this. Oh, where am I? I forgot to say, I'm at the DoubleTree Hotel in Tarrytown. Place looks great. It's really nice. Nice lobby. I like nice big lobby. And the room I have. I have a room. Pretty big room. It's got I guess it's a double bed. I'm not sure how. Queen? No, it's a king. It's a king bed, and it's got a patio. It's right out the courtyard over here. And what else do I have? It's got a flat screen TV, and obviously it's got internet, and a nice bathroom with the amenities, and I get to have a buffet breakfast in the morning. Although, considering the way I've been eating, like this morning, I really liked, it wasn't even worth a buffet, the amount of food that I had. But I wanted to make sure I saved room for lunch and dinner today, because I went to some great places. So let's, I turn to go back to my trails. Let's see. Okay, so I had lunch yesterday at Emma's Ale House in White Plains. Casey is the owner. And, what we were talking about there, I was trying to get as much of stuff about going green around here. There seems to be, if you go on the website, Westchester County's website, which I'll, get you later on, but if you go on there, you could see some attractions or things. It'll say, like, green, and it'll give you some restaurants or places to go that are green. So I said I wanted to go to this place. Emma's Ale House. Emma. Emma's actually a dog. It was this guy's dog. The dog is not alive anymore. So he named it after the dog. I think that's what it was. But anyways, when you come there, right at the door, there's a doggy bowl of water. And they tell me that, anybody who's walking their dog, they purposely stop there to have a bowl of water. Can you imagine if people did that, then change the water for the next dog or the next person, and somebody just stopped by and was drinking the water that somebody had their mouth in. I suppose if you had to, you'd do it. So the green part of it, I remember. First of all, there was their water. They triple filter the water. And instead of having bottled water, they have the bottles. They're not plastic bottles. They have bottles. And they sanitize them, clean them out. I mean, that's no reason, I guess, to make a big deal. You're just putting water in bottles, I suppose. And they're using triple filtered water. So they on the table, and they don't charge you. You have, what would be like if you said, I'll have tap water. But instead of tap water, they're giving you the bottled water. At least I'll find that out. I don't think there's a charge for it. I doubt it. Anyway, so that was one of the things they're doing is that Remember the guy told me that another thing in the bathroom, in the restroom, you know, the place you go to rest. I got to go to the bathroom. I think I'll rest. I rest on the toilet, maybe. Rest. Okay. Why don't they just call it a relief room. That would be better. Anyway, so in there, they have the hand dryer. Now, it's not your normal hand dryer. You know how you put that hand dryer on, you're standing there like forever and waiting for your hands to dry, and by the time you're done, you just take your hands and wipe it on your pants or whatever you have to do, you know? This is like with like tremendous amount of force. So the air that comes out is really blasts, and it immediately dries your hand. And with that, of course, you don't have to use paper towels. So that was the second thing that he said about being green. I know there were some other things. I guess we didn't really get into it. I suppose things like the lights, the refrigerator, or things that he was doing, but those were the two that stood out. He also had 360 vodka. 360 vodka is a company, and the vodka they use, it comes in bottles, and the bottles are made with recycled glass. I forgot what else. I just remember that with that, and they happen to have that there, which doesn't really make you green because if you're having other kinds of vodkas, they're not 360, you know, vodkas. What did we eat? Oh, okay. We had mac and cheese, and the cheese, there were like four different cheeses. I remember he said Gouda. Badder, not so badder, worser. No, you know what I mean. And so there were the cheeses, the macaroni, and he had in bacon, but it wasn't like, you know, the typical, like when you have slices of bacon, it was little chunks. Bacon and peas, yes. Well, somebody peed into the macaroni and cheese. Peas. I never thought of putting peas in the macaroni and cheese. But I'm going to try that. Just try this at home. So we got to taste that. We had sliders. And the first sliders that came out with turkey burgers. And they... Whatever he does is excellent. It wasn't dry. Turkey burgers weren't dry at all. I would probably know they're not hamburgers. Hamburgers made with ham, no. Meat burgers, beef burgers. But I wouldn't necessarily say, oh, this must be turkey. You know, that doesn't taste like it. Just tasted good. But we did have sliders of beef burgers to see the difference. And we had a chopped salad. Had all kinds of goody stuff in there. Got to make sure you have your salad. And for dessert, they picture this. Well, try this at home. I don't want to because I don't really want to make this for myself. They take Krispy Kreme donuts and make a bread pudding using Krispy Kreme donuts. Wow. That was really good. I don't know what else went into it, but it was really good. And so that's what we had at Emma's Ale House. I don't know if that's the website. I mean, just Emma's Ale House in White Plains, and go Google that, and you'll find that one. And let's see. No, we're not going to have this person call in. Okay, we went to Westchester Broadway Theater, which I guess a number of years ago I remember it as the Elmsford Broadway Dinner Theater, but it's a brand new building. I don't know. It looks nice, very nice. They did the show, the Broadway play, which was also a movie, called Nine. Now, I never saw the Broadway show. I never saw the movie. The play was odd. Okay, I'm not sure whether it was based on, but I think it was having to do with Fellini deciding on what kind of movie to do or something, and there were all these women in his life, and that's what this whole thing was. That's all it was, about all these women and doing a movie, and was it done as a musical. I would never bother to see the show itself. However, the acting, the performance, the quality of the performance there was no less than if you went to Broadway to see a show. That was the one thing. The singing, you know, everything was just, the production was just great. The only song that I remember like hearing at any point from that show was called "It's a Very Unusual Day." And I got that Linda Edder. Well, I don't know if she made it famous, but I remember it being. It's a very unusual day, yeah. Could it be, and it's a most unusual day? It's a very unusual, something like that. Who the hell cares? But it was a good song. And that was the only song that, like I said, oh, okay, I recognize this song. So where is the place? Let's see. Well, it's in, it must be near Elmsford. Because obviously, when it was called the Elmsford Dinner Theater, but it's not the only place that has some theater around here. But it was one of them. So that's what I got to see. Let's see. Then today I did a tour of Tarrytown, of which. I'm going to let Kim tell you about all the places we saw in Tarrytown. The next place, Stone Barns. And we were scheduled for an insider's tour. And I guess we thought we were getting a VIP, like an insider's tour. But they actually had a tour called the Insider's Tour. It was a 90-minute tour, and we did start on it, but I didn't want to schlep into the fields. Stone Barns, what I will do there, what I'd like to do, I did notice that they have cooking classes. And about the whole thing with this place is, about 50% of whatever they serve, because they have beside a cafeteria, they have a restaurant, and 50% of what they serve at the restaurant is stuff that's grown on the property. And when I say stuff, that includes any animals that happen to be there as well. They don't have, there's no cows or nothing. That, I suppose they're little pigs, I guess. They share sheep, but I don't think that they have sheep on the menu. I didn't really get all of this as to in terms of the kind of like the protein angle on this. But I did see a cooking class going on. We sort of walked through the kitchen. And I want to follow up on this by going to an actual cooking class, which would be just different from doing the CIA boot camp, which I'll go back to at some point, too. And let's see. Well, we had lunch at Equus Restaurant at Castle on the Hudson. Let me think. I think the guy is calling in tonight also, so I won't get into that. We went to Greensburg Nature Center, and that guy is going to get into that. Oh, what I got to do there. Oh, I got pictures. I couldn't put them up on this yet. I got pictures. I love to pet animals. You know, I have to be told whether I can or not. But, you know, that's my thing is like, well, you know, it's just hope it doesn't bite. But I got a chance to pet chinchilla. Yeah, chinchilla. Whoa. I don't say that they should, really, and they shouldn't. But now I understand why people buy chinchilla coats. I mean, their fur is so, so soft. But I definitely like, I don't really appreciate that they do that. Just pet the damn animals and stop taking their fur away from them. That's what I feel. I mean, I don't know what, actually, what I should do is ask Esther. I should ask Esther what she thinks of the whole thing about the thing with the petting the taking chinchillas and making tell me what. All right, Esther. No. No, Esther, leave that alone. We're not playing the music again. Esther. Tell. Okay, never mind, Esther. Never mind. We're going to gab. That's it. Okay. So, who do we got on the air?
Hi, Merle. It's Kim Sinistor. How are you?
Oh, good. Great. I was just talking about some of the things we did and leaving some of the things up to you to talk about.
Okay.
So we're going to start with, because we did the Tarrytown tour. So
yes.
Let's start with that, the Tarrytown tour.
The Tarrytown
place
tour.
We went to, yeah.
Today in Tarrytown, I took you around to Sunnyside, the home of Washington Irving, who was the author of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, and the author of the book Rip Van Winkle, the man who fell asleep for 20 years during the American Revolutionary War. And his home is right on the Hudson River in Irvington, which is the town that actually was that took after his name, which the author is Washington Irving. So we got to see a little bit of his little cottage home. And then we took you onto the grounds of Lyndhurst, which is a Gothic castle in Tarrytown, which is the home to the Gould family, and it's a museum.
Is that Elliot Gould, you mean?
Not Elliot Gould.
Oh,
his name
different
is
Gould.
Jay Gould, yes.
Okay.
I don't think there's any relation, but Jay Gould, sort of an entrepreneur businessman way back when, and you know, about 100 years ago or more. And that home is a castle, and people can go for tours, and they can go see lots of events that go on all throughout the year on the grounds. And that's a fun thing to do. And if you want to go into downtown Tarrytown, which is about a mile away from Lyndhurst Castle, and a mile away from the DoubleTree Hotel where you're presently staying at, you can go downtown, and there's lots of antique shops and lots of cafes and restaurants. And there's the Tarrytown Music Hall, which is a theater that seats, I can't remember how many, but it's hundreds and hundreds. And it's a very old, beautiful sort of theater where they do live performances and they show movies, and it's 125 years old, and it's a great theater. There's a family who bought the theater many years ago, and they still run it now, and are fundraising to try and do more renovations and keep the Tarrytown Music Hall going. And this music hall actually has been in many movies, which is kind of fun. And, you know, when I took you down to the Hudson River to kind of show you that all these towns, Sleepy Hollow, Tarrytown, Irvington, Hastings, Dobbs Ferry, are all river towns, and they have these quaint little downtown areas, these like one little, you know, sort of main street areas that take you right down to the Hudson River, which is basically our connected waterway from New York City all the way up, you know, through upstate New York and through many, many, many other rivers and channels that actually takes you into Canada. And where else did we go? We went to Phillipsburg Manor, which is a grist mill that was run back in the, I think it was the 1700s or 1800s. I forget which era. Please pardon my historical knowledge. And this grist mill was basically run by slaves long ago who were producing products that were shipped down the Hudson River towards New York City for purchase and you know, for family industry. And then we drove, where else did we drive up? We drove from there, we drove
up
the hill.
At the grist mill, that's where Esther insisted on taking a photo with that the woman from the period. Yeah.
They have people
dressed in period clothes.
Yes, they do dress in period clothes, and they give you demonstrations of what life was like to work on a farm back then, and they'll show you different jobs of you know, making products and hay and farm animals and all that type of, you know, farm work that went on. And, you know, there are interpretive tours that people take, which is very, very informative. You know, it's educational, but yet it kind of gives you a flavor for our area and our history. And, you know, and it kind of relates to a bigger picture of our American history, too, and how, you know, colonialism and how we derived from different cultures abroad, which is the Dutch, which is pretty big in our area. And, yeah, that picture was a great picture because behind you, behind that was that blanket that had the legend of Sleepy Hollow. It was the Headless Horseman, which is very known for the Sleepy Hollow area. And a couple times a year during the Halloween time frame in October, you could actually see the Headless Horseman ride through Sleepy Hollow at the Legends Weekend, which is held there at nighttime. So that's like a fun thing to do.
Wasn't there something else you were saying about with Halloween that they do? Also?
The other Halloween event is the Blaze. It's called the Blaze. And that is 5,000 carved, lighted pumpkins they're each themed in different areas at Van Cortlandt Manor, which is in Croton. And you go at night, you walk through. It's a pathway that you walk through. And each area that you walk through, there's sort of a different theme. So it might be dinosaurs, or it might be, you know, I don't know, just a haunted theme or something festive, and you walk through it. And it's not really scary. It's just kind of cool because it's all these pumpkins hanging from trees and on the ground and all over the place. And it's really neat. And if anybody hasn't seen it, they really should, because it's actually very fun. It's weekends, I should say extended weekends, in October. And it's called The Blaze. And I know you haven't been there, and Esther hasn't been there either. So
we're going to have to haul our ass up here again.
Absolutely. You'll have to come back up in October. And then from there, we went up to see some stained glass windows at a place called Union Church, remember?
Because it wasn't on the list.
It wasn't on the list. We did a little side detour to Union Church, which was kind of fun, and you got to see the stained glass windows. that were designed by Marc Chagall and Henri Matisse, who were two modern-day artists. When we say modern-day, we say 20th century, kind of join in with Picasso. And, you know, people don't know that we have these artistic people from, you know, the 1900s that really had an influence in, you know, particular families who liked art and wanted things to decorate their either their homes or their outside sculpture areas, their, you know, their gardens, their houses, and even their churches.
Yeah.
And where else did we? What did you think of those windows?
Oh, I love them. But I like Chagall. I mean,
you like Chagall?
Are, mm-hmm. Yeah, I know there are not a whole bunch of artists that I either recognize or enjoy looking at.
Right.
And I like, you know, I recognize Chagall windows because it almost looks like Picasso, and I go, that's not exactly Picasso. Oh, that must be Chagall, because he has that sort of flair of, you know,
mm-hmm.
Picasso kind of flair that he does. And he's noted for the stained glass windows. That's something
yeah.
he's noted for anyway. One of the places I wanted you to explain, because I don't know how to explain, the Hudson River Museum.
Oh, in Yonkers? The one in Yonkers that you went to?
Yeah.
The Hudson River Museum is sort of unique in its own because it has a, I want to say, a diversity of mediums in the museum. It has a house museum, which was a home, a Victorian home, to a family that had lived on the property. And then with that Victorian home, they take you through a tour, and there's a, you know, sort of this big old, big life-size dollhouse upstairs, and they take you through the home, and they explain to you who lived there and the home itself. And then it's attached to a museum. Now, the museum is an art museum, and the art museum has changing exhibits. And a lot of times they're really very different, very, you know, very unique, very cool, it transcends from children to adults, and a lot of their exhibits are very much, you know, applicable to all ages. And it also has a planetarium, and in that planetarium they do, you know, stars shows, as in you see in planetariums, and smaller planetarium, but it's very quaint, very cute, and they do these planetarium shows on particular evenings. And then the other component is what's called Riverama. And Riverama is a permanent exhibit that is all about the history and explaining the Hudson River. And it's how the river works and how it flows and all the
things.
Where
was that?
And creatures.
Where was that? We didn't,
it was,
I didn't see
you didn't
that.
See that?
No,
they didn't take you
downstairs?
To Riverama? I'm trying to remember where it is.
I remember seeing there was a whole thing on some material. Something light. It was like this sort of plastic.
That was probably their art exhibit that they have there at the
right.
time,
and
right
then,
now, because it said, did you see the planetarium?
And I saw the planetarium.
Right. Did they take you into the house museum?
It was weird. No one actually took us. I you know, for some reason.
Oh,
the,
no? You kind of
well,
went on your own? Oh.
Well, we went on our own, and there was a sign that said that, you know, you can get the tour on your cell phone.
Oh, okay.
And, but nobody.
Did you try that? Because I've
no,
never tried
we,
that.
No, we didn't. I said, okay, I'll just walk around. I'm not the kind of person that like reads everything on the walls and stuff like that, or looks
right.
like everything. So I like to like look at, take things in, you know, and look around kind of things. And so,
right.
That's kind of what I did. Just walked into the various rooms and observed. Whatever furniture or things that were there.
Oh, okay.
There was also things written, like, you know, that you could pick up and look at, you know, and
right.
So you know you could do that. But basically, there was you just you know did it on your own kind of thing. There was a downstairs also, and it looked like art stuff. And maybe that's where the Hudson, that's where that was.
I can't remember what floor it's on. I just don't remember where it is in the structure of the building. But
oh, then
it's
there
possible.
Was that, then there was that store, the bookstore, they called it the red something. Did you see that? And it was
no. They had a gift shop.
It wasn't really a store. It was it was an exhibit. It was an art thing.
Oh, okay. Must be a new exhibit they have.
Yeah, and it was this thing, and you walked in, and as if you were in a bookstore.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. That must be one of their new exhibits.
Yeah.
Yeah, they change their exhibits periodically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're usually pretty different. But they just have different, you know, it's different type of museum where they have, you know, as I said, different mediums, you know, different aspects of the museum, which really is kind of a nice thing because it attracts everybody. So it's not just one type of art, you know, that you're looking at, or one type of a museum media. I think it because it's a multimedia place, I think that really is interesting to people. What else? What did you do? Well, today we went to the Green. You know, we also went to the Greenberg Nature Center today. And
hoping that. Yes. What was his name? Right.
That was Travis.
Travis. I'm hoping he calls in.
Good. Good. Then you can talk about a little about that, and then that was good. And
the guy from Castle on the Hudson. He said he'll call in.
I hope he does, so he can talk about the castle, which is fun.
And
we went to Stone Barns.
Yes.
And you got to see a little bit about, you know, the farm to table concept.
Stone Barns. Yeah. I talked a little about Stone Barns. It kind of elaborate on it for us. It's like it's a I would kind of say the purpose. It's
an educational learning center.
Yeah.
You know, how I sort of look at it is, you know, they call it a food and agricultural center. I look at it more of as an educational center about food and agriculture, so that people can really learn about how the two go together, where they come from, you know, which is all underneath the umbrella of what we call agritourism, that farm-to-table concept, which is becoming very popular these days, and, you know, and that 50% of what they grow there, they actually serve in the restaurant that's there called Blue Hill, and they serve dinner on evenings. And it's an interesting concept, and it's very environmentally friendly and very educational. They have a lot of classes and programs, and they have a farmer's market. So, you know, their members, you know, as I said, they had members, and you know, through their member organization. But it's also open to the public, general public, to go on tours and to just kind of, you know, mill around and go up there. There's a cafe, and it serves lunch. And it's just a nice place to kind of, you know, see animals and see the environment and see how, you know, sort of the agricultural aspect of things can be done in a very different way, because Westchester is really a very suburban area, and we don't really consider our area to be very agriculturally oriented, but yet there are ways that things can be done on a smaller level that people can actually do. I mean, even growing their own vegetables and things in their own backyard is a way for people to sort of do farm-to-table in your own home, and, you know, you can learn how to do a lot of this, you know, through programs and things that they have up there.
And not only that, you can also have the privilege of buying a 2.5-ounce bar of chocolate for $9 that comes from Brooklyn.
That's true. I know, we were shocked at the, you know, dark chocolate from Brooklyn. We didn't taste it, but
$9 for 2.5 ounces. And what did we say? It comes to about like $48 or something.
I think so,
for a pound of chocolate. Yeah.
Unless we misread the sign, which is possible. Who knows? But
no, it did say $9.
I know.
You know? Oh, God. All right. Anyway. But that I like that concept, though.
Mm-hmm.
Even at the CIA, I mean,
right.
they don't do as much, but I know that they grow like herbs and stuff like that they use.
I think they do too. Herbs and vegetables, I think it's limited. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right.
Which is cool. That's a
right. Well, yeah. I think it's a learning tool. If I were to take a guess, I mean, I'm not a chef, but I would think that it's a learning tool for chefs to learn how they grow. And to, you know, to learn the smells and you know, to really work with it and understand the concept of the herb itself and how, you know, how it grows and how it's nurtured, and then, you know, how to use it with particular foods. And, you know, because chefs are very particular and, you know, very good chefs, like the dinner that we had tonight at 80 West was excellent because, you know, he served us a lot of little mini courses, a lot of tastings, but, you know, when you taste things, it's almost a combination of crunchy to soft to sweet to, you know, it's really challenging your palate to make your palate really work and get a lot of different flavors, you know, in one tasting, you know, in one meal. And I think that's what the chefs are all trained to do and they aspire to do. And to me, that's what makes a great chef. And I think that, you know, the chef at 80 West, Jean-Claude, is excellent. And, you know, just like the lunch we had up at the castle today, you know, the chef up there is phenomenal. And, you know, they do a wonderful job as well. You know, I wouldn't ask you what your favorite is, but I would say I'm sure that you got a very different sort of taste of, you know, the different types of restaurants that we have here. And, you know, you were only at several of them. I mean, we have hundreds of restaurants, you know, in Westchester. And, you know, I think it gives people sort of a different view of Westchester.
I was talking before about when we had lunch at Emma's Ale
right.
House.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him talking about two of the green things. One of them had to do with the water, the
right.
triple filtered water, and the other one was about the hand dryers. Do you
okay.
remember if he said anything else that was?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
Okay.
I think it
was.
I think I might have missed. I think you were talking about that prior to my getting there. I have a feeling
okay.
I might have missed that one.
And the 360 vodka doesn't really count, but.
No, I don't think so. But hey, you know, it is made from vegetables.
this is true.
So it's kind of a farm to table product, so I think that's probably a good thing. But
well, I'm not sure. Okay, because I'm not sure it's like whether Caramore is calling in.
Right.
Okay, so let's talk about Caramore.
Well, Caramore, will you tell me? You were up there. What did you think of the place?
Well,
how would you describe it to someone who's never been there?
It's potentially, and I have to say potentially because I didn't experience going to any concert there.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've been to concerts there. The concerts are very good.
And so it's mainly an outdoor venue. Of concerts and
yeah, under a tent. It's under a tent, so.
Yeah, but it's outdoor meaning as opposed to
right. And inside
in a building.
Although
and,
they do have one indoor venue that they use, which is a performance that was being held tonight indoors.
Right.
It's a smaller theater, and it's actually very, very quaint, and it's almost like being in somebody's large living room. You know, with chairs set up, it's very homey. It's very atmospheric. It's very intimate, and I think you know that is very nice because it's different. You know, and I think that's what really makes Caramore unique is the quality of entertainers that they do get, and the fact of the venue settings that they use, because they have that one indoors, and then they also have this courtyard, this very beautiful sort of like semicircle courtyard that's almost like. You know, sitting outdoor at an outdoor cafe and having, you know, a cup of coffee or tea, and there's a performer. And that's another area that they use for their performers. Besides having this big tent, you know, that seats a lot of people, and, you know, they have a big stage and a sound system, and then that's where they do their larger performances. So I think the three venues that they have are very different and really, you know, makes it nice because people can go up on the grounds for the concerts. They can picnic with their own picnic baskets. They have a food vendor up there that, you know, you can buy food from that sells right on the grounds, you know, outdoor picnicking type thing. And the food's very good. I've actually had that myself. And, you know, it just makes it kind of fun and different. And it's easy to get to. It's right off of our 684 interstate. It's, you know, it's just very convenient. Parking is easy. You just, you know, go in and park right in and walk in. You know, and they have beautiful gardens outside, which you can go tour on your own, et cetera. You know, on a different day if you don't want to do it, if it's too busy. But I just think it's just a very unique setting, and it has a lot of Spanish flair because the buildings, when you look at it, are very Spanish in architecture.
What would you say would be the, in terms of the music,
They do everything from jazz to classical to pop. I mean,
but pop is probably the top. I mean, you're not going to go there and hear the rap or
no
heavy
no,
metal
not.
Or anything like
mm-hmm.
that. It's
no.
on the yeah.
They're known to be a very what they call an international music festival. So I think they keep their music very, I don't want to say conservative, but very, they've got contemporary mixed with classic in there.
Right. So you're not going to see, I mean, you ain't going to see pop stars. You're not going to see,
No. You're not going to see rock concerts, no.
Yeah. But you will see, is it Yo-Yo Ma? Is that the guy's name?
You might. Mm-hmm. But yes,
oh, okay.
It is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. something you know, like that.
Actually, he's performed. I want to say he's been at SUNY Purchase and Performing Arts Center. And I'm trying to think because I know my mother has seen him up here somewhere, and I want to say it was at the SUNY Performing Arts Center. You know, so you'll see performances like you will see at Lincoln Center. You know. At
yeah,
times.
That's probably yes. That's a better way of doing it. Well, I mean, Esther just said she enjoyed it, too.
Oh, did she? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought I heard her talking.
Yeah, that was her.
All right. Well, that's good.
And, what I liked about it is in terms is the grounds. And that's what I've heard for many years about going there because of the grounds.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So
the grounds are just beautiful. I mean, that's to me is what's just amazing that you would not expect to find that. You know, when you go to see a concert, you're not expecting to see, you know, an outdoor venue that's actually, you know, just really set up for everything else. You know, including music. It's very different. I mean, they do afternoon teas there, and they do afternoon, evening, you know, sort of sunset kind of concerts, you know, in these little courtyards. And it's just very different. If a group wanted to go up there and you know, for whatever, have an event or a party or a wedding, you know, they have that too. You know, that's what's nice about some of our venues here. You know, even the Hudson River Museum, they have a room downstairs. You can have a wedding there. You can have a party there. I mean, same thing with Phillips Manor Hall. They have a room there for meetings or for a get-together. You know, a lot of our places just have a lot of unique settings. Stone Barns, you can have a wedding or a party or anything, a meeting or an event at Stone Barns. And I think that's what really makes Westchester very different. And we stand out because, as we say, it's, you know, it's kind of like if you want to play or stay, you know, the Westchester way, we're just very different. You know, we're kind of like this wondrous, you know, area of all these vast things to see and do and have different venues to do them in. And I think that's what really makes us very, I think, very unique.
Well, I was also impressed with Bezak. Is that it?
Yes, Bezak.
Mm-hmm. Bezak. I'm trying to figure out how to describe a barge. Would you say it's a barge?
Well, the science barge is actually a barge. It's
okay.
A docked barge. And it is an environmental facility that shows you how crops can be grown, how energy is to be used, you know, through our natural resources, through water, through air, through wind, things of that nature. And they do a lot of, you know, sort of, I call it seminar training, but, you know, it's really like classes or educational type, you know, things for students and for adults. And it's a very small, quaint barge that's just amazing. I mean, you know, you learn a lot. You know, even as an adult, if you really want to know how all this high-powered, you know, technological, environmental, you know, things work and learn about all the lingo and the dialogue and, you know, really kind of get a feel for it, that's where you learn it.
And basically,
very knowledgeable staff there.
Yeah. Well, it's basically being powered by two solar panels, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's amazing, you know, and that's what that's what I learned when I went there. I'm like, okay, how does this work? And they explain it to you. Don't ask me to explain it again because, you know, I grasp the concept, but I'm not going to be able to teach it.
it's
a great idea.
It's
interesting.
Yeah, seeing how they were starting to plant the seeds for the hydroponic?
Right. But do you remember a long time ago, I mean, not to reference someone else, but when Epcot first opened, and I went on a tour, you know, when you went on this Epcot and you went in one of them and they showed you how, do you remember this? You get in a little boat and they took you through on a boat and they showed you how vegetables like lettuce and tomatoes could be made, you know, in this dome setting with all of this controlled environment. Well, it was the same concept, and it is the same concept. So, and that was however many years ago, because I was much younger then when that happened. And, you know, I think about it, I'm like, wow, you know, we're really just grasping this now when Disney was ahead and thinking that this was the future. So it's kind of an interesting concept that, you know, we really, you know, we're kind of going back to, or, you know, like everything that was happened long ago really isn't that futuristic anymore. I mean, we're here, we're now, we have to be sort of self-sufficient.
Yeah, if you're coming here, you should definitely go to both places, both BZAC and
the
other one. Yeah, and see, you know, this whole thing and Stone Barns to see how you're dealing with, like, you know, food.
Absolutely.
You don't have to, I guess I didn't ask, but I can imagine because of the controlled environment in terms of the hydroponic, you're not using chemicals.
No.
There's no, because it's not outdoors. You're not dealing with any bugs that's going to eat plants or anything.
Absolutely.
So you don't need chemicals.
You know, nope, everything is natural, and you know, that's the way Stone Barns is too.
When I come back, I'm gonna come back and actually do a tasting at both places.
There you go.
as to how it tastes, like totally natural and
right.
I wonder if you can you call hydroponic organic? No. Yes or no?
You know, I don't know. I'm not really very good at some of that. I think that would probably be a question to ask, you know, one or the other. Maybe ask Travis that, because maybe he might know the difference. I would say it probably is a form of, I'm going to take a real wild guess here.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm really out of my element, but I would probably say yes, because, you know, it's grown differently, and it's grown naturally, you know, with no chemicals. And I think that if it has no chemicals, it would be considered organic. So I would probably say yes, you are correct on that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's I'm not sure who's going to call or not call in at this point, so I guess we're going to talk. Okay. Let's talk.
What else?
Let's see, which one will we all right, let's talk about lunch at Equus. Let's talk about Castle on the Hudson.
Okay.
Wow, what a view.
Isn't it nice?
Yeah. When people are driving along the Hudson and they see this castle on the hill, that's what it is.
Pretty much. I mean, you're coming over the Tappan Zee Bridge, you could see it. If you just look up, you see it. And, you know, people don't realize that we have a castle. And, you know, it's a wonderful little, you know, it's an inn. It's, you know, it's kind of like a bed and breakfast, but it's just a little bigger. It has, you know, I think it was about 31 rooms. Some of them are big suites. Some of them are oversized hotel rooms. They're beautiful. Some of them have canopy beds. And, you know, there are fireplaces throughout the common areas.
Esther took a nap on one of the canopy beds.
There
a
you
very
go.
Short one.
A very short one.
She loved it.
I'm sure. There's a life-size chess set. There's a beautiful pool.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
There's a tennis court there. And, you know, they give, they have massage, you know, and spa services there. So it really is a nice little getaway destination for someone, and it's a great place to have a function or a party or a wedding, because, you know, what bride doesn't like to be married in a castle and feel like a princess, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They do a lot of that there. And it's just a great place. The food is excellent at Equus. I mean, they have a phenomenal chef. They do, you know, themed type of events each season, indoors and outdoors. And, you know, they just really keep themselves very busy. And, you know, it's good because it's a hotel and it's a meeting facility. It's a catered facility, you know, for banquets and functions. And yet, you know, they're just kind of a full-service hotel, but they're really more of a very quaint, you know, service-oriented inn. And I think that's what makes them different.
Oh, sure.
Very, very different.
And what did we have? Let's see.
Yeah, what did you have? What did I have? Who can remember? We've eaten too much today.
You had the...
What did I have, the ravioli?
The ravioli? Well, no. Was it tortellini?
Oh, tortellini. That's what it was. It was tortellini.
Tortellini had, wasn't cheese, tortellini.
No, I think it was vegetables? No.
It was something, but I know there were mushrooms and wild mushrooms and stuff. It was a vegetarian.
Mm-hmm. It was very
That's
good.
What I remember. There was a vegetarian tortellini.
It was very, very good.
And
it was very, very different.
And I had...
You had great soup.
Oh, that soup, yes. It was an apple celery soup.
Yeah, that was excellent. That had a
it
nice
was
flavor
almost,
to
it. Yeah, it's sort of as if you... It was kind of as if you kind of like made applesauce and added celery and water kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like real sweet. It was, you know, just slightly from the... Because it's apples. And it came with this little muffin, an apple muffin kind of thing there. So that's what we started with our appetizer. Now I know
and
I had the.
What did you have for an entree?
I had the Arctic char, as opposed to salmon. Arctic char looks exactly like salmon.
It did look exactly like salmon.
Yeah. I know. And that was excellent. And what was and with that on, I decided to have some even though it came with vegetables, I ordered a side of root vegetables to just to make sure we had more veggies. And you had a side of carrots too.
I had carrots. They were glazed in like a maple syrup. They were very sweet. It was good. I like my carrots like that.
We were pretty good having some food that was really good for us there. We would have had dessert if we didn't have to leave.
We were on a time schedule today.
Yeah, but we wouldn't have had dessert anyway, probably because we were also too full.
Exactly.
Yeah, isn't it interesting when food is really good and you're savoring it, you get fuller faster?
Unless it's just our minds telling us that, but yeah, I would agree.
I mean, that's
because
that's what happened with dinner, and we were getting. I mean,
we had seven courses,
more portions.
I know. Mm-hmm.
But because you're savoring it and you're tasting it and everything else, the body says you're full. You know,
my body did tell me I was full. That's for sure.
Yeah, we're getting more food. We'll get to that later, but hopefully it's. If somebody, one of them who agreed to call in, will actually call in tonight.
I hope so.
We hope so. Okay. So let's see what else. Let me see what else I did. Yesterday. I was talking about that the Katona Museum with the puppets.
Yeah, how was it? Did you like that museum?
Well, I kind of liked it. I think, and I was commenting, that I think I would appreciate it more if I actually saw some kind of performance as opposed to just going in there. Because it's kind of, you know, you're really just like looking. There's nothing experiential, and you're dealing with puppets.
Okay.
Although there were a couple of screens where you can watch some puppetry,
they
weren't like large screens.
To me, that museum is an art museum, so for them to have puppets.
Yes.
Hmm.
Now, do they always have puppets at the museum, or is it just?
I don't think so. I think that's just one of their exhibits. There again, they do change their exhibits there.
That's the part that I wasn't getting, but then again, their PR person could have cared less about helping out. But anyway, that's the thing I didn't get, whether this was a changing thing or when you go there, that's what you'll see, is thing on just puppets. And
I'm pretty sure that it's ever-changing exhibits, because that's a lot of art museums do.
Yeah, well, I think I'll call them. I won't speak to that person though, and I'll find out if that's a permanent collection or not.
If you don't get anywhere with that, just ask Lydia from my office to find out some more information for you. She'll be happy to do that.
Okay. And so let's see, Storm Barn. We had lunch. I'm really hoping that Travis. Right. From
Travis. I hope he does call you.
I hope he calls you.
Because the Greenberg Nature Center is really a cute little, nature center. It really is adorable. I mean, we had so much fun with those, the ferrets and the, I'm not going to remember these names of these things.
The chinchilla.
Adorable. Oh, he was so cute.
Yes, and I'm so upset that they make coats out of it. I was commenting that I can understand because of the softness of it, but I definitely don't. I would rather just have.
I'd rather have it as a pet.
Yes.
It's so cute. Me
too.
It's adorable.
I have it as a pet and
the fluffy little thing. And what was that other thing you were holding? That was like that little small version of a porcupine.
What was that called?
The hedgehog, that's it.
I forgot
it was
about
cute.
This little hedgehog. And it didn't it didn't make a duty in my hands like the guys did probably do that.
It was cute. It had beautiful coloring, the brown and the white and the beige, beautiful coloring and just very small, about the size of, an adult hand, and kind of shaped almost the shape of a gerbil or a small possum, a really tiny possum, or a porcupine, as he compared it to a porcupine, because the back is similar to the porcupine. But I mean, although I've never touched a porcupine because they're kind of really prickly, but, this one had sort of a, not a softness, but a smoothness to those porky little pine, porky little things that stuck out, so it wasn't, prickly.
Yeah.
But he was cute.
Those look so cute, those hedgehogs.
Yeah, he was. So, a lot of kids going in and out of there today, so.
I got a gecko.
That's true. We learned about a gecko today. Yes, that was very
good. It was a, did you say a tiger gecko? What did he say? No.
Leopard. Was it a leopard? Leopard.
A leopard, they said?
Yeah, because leopard has spots. I thought it was a leopard gecko because it had spots on it.
Really cute. And I heard him say, 15 minutes will save you 15%. I don't know what that
means. There you go.
That's what I heard him say. I got it on video.
Yeah, and he wasn't green, so that was good.
No.
He was brown and white.
Oh, whatever that meant, I don't know.
That was good.
But I didn't pet any, I wasn't up for petting any snakes.
Yeah, I'm not a snake person, but yes.
Yeah.
The owl was adorable. That little owl that we saw.
The owl,
six. Yeah, I know that. The owl was, 6-7 inches high. It was adorable. He was little.
Yes. Little screech owl.
He was huge. Little screech owl. He was adorable. I've never seen one that small.
Yeah. And then there was that pretty little dove, that white dove.
Yeah, the white dove was beautiful.
I was whistling at it and was learning my whistle, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah. But then that's a great place to go.
It is. It's a very nice place. It really is. Westchester has a lot of, phenomenal things to do, sites to see, and places to visit that are really good for a little weekend getaway and for families to do things together, whether they be educational or just sheer fun. And it's a great place to have meetings and conferences and conventions and social gatherings and reunions. And, it's a great proximity. We're in the Hudson Valley, and we're close to New York City, and we're accessible by train and by car. And, even by bus in certain areas, depending upon where you're coming from. And we really do have, you know, because we're a suburban area, we have a very nice feel for outdoors, for our parks and our trailways for hiking and biking. And you can go on the rivers on Long Island Sound or the Hudson River to go some kayaking and some, you know, canoeing. And, you know, it really is an area that people don't think about. You know, you don't necessarily have to travel so far to, you know, enjoy a getaway weekend, you know, where you can kind of retreat and sort of rejuvenate yourself. And that's what our area is about. And we're very welcoming and open to having people come and visit us. We have great hotels.
What you don't have, though, I'll tell you what you don't have.
What?
You don't have a chocolate shop in Mamaroneck.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We'll have to see. I don't know. We keep losing chocolate shops. I know. I don't know why. I might have to start that business myself. Maybe I'll have to do it myself because, you know, you and I are those chocoholics, so.
Uh-huh. But in Rye, where we didn't get to go, in Rye, I wanted to point out that Olivier Soaps, who are actually from, they're not from – where the heck was I? Oh, not the province of Quebec. They're all the way in the province.
It's only Canada, but I don't remember where.
New Brunswick.
Oh, they're New Brunswick. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're very west.
They're actually up there around, like, where Arcadia is.
Right, right. That's
all the way up there.
Yeah. Acadia
and,
National Park. Yeah, that's pretty west.
And they had decided to have their first store selling in the United States,
mm-hmm.
and they located themselves in Rye.
I think that's great. Westchester is very welcoming for businesses. We love to have businesses come and move here because, you know, as again, because of our proximity of how we are located between New Jersey, Connecticut, and New York City, we're a great location for businesses. It's great for people to live here. It's great for people to work here. It's great for people to travel to and from anywhere you want to go. And, you know, we're open for business. We want people's businesses to come here and move here and relocate here. So, you know, we're very much into economic development and growing businesses, and we're all about that and tourism and, you know, and filming in Westchester. And we're really very much pro. So, you know, that's a great thing. We are happy that new businesses are coming in. Small or large, it doesn't matter to us because small businesses right now are really a very high percentage of our country's economy.
Yeah. One thing that I was thinking about in terms of with the solar panels, it occurred to me that what a perfect place to be having solar panels near the water, because the sun, you're definitely going to get the sun.
Absolutely.
And you don't have obstruction of anything because you're at the water.
That's true.
So it would work. It would work really well. And we got somebody calling in. We do.
Oh, there you go.
Who managed to call in? You're on the air. Come on. Talk to me. Hello.
Who's that? I know I'm still here. So.
I don't know. Whoever it was, and just got off. Okay.
Uh-oh,
I guess
maybe they didn't think it went through. Maybe they'll try again. I had trouble getting in. I had to dial a couple of times myself. So.
Really? Oh.
Yeah. I thought maybe I had the wrong number, and then I checked again, and it took me a couple of times, so maybe that's what's happening.
Oh. It was definitely a cell phone number. I can always tell. I think whenever you get at least I had noticed, like, you know, 917 always looks like a cell phone number.
Right,
when
usually
you see
it is.
The area code 917 is the cell phone number.
Yeah, usually
so,
it is.
So I guess hopefully that person will call back.
We'll call back. Well, that'll be good, hopefully.
Yeah. Otherwise, we have to. Okay. Are there some places like, because it's not going to be my first time coming here, that, you know, when I return, that you would say, oh, you must, you know, like, what did I miss or anything
exactly.
like that? Are there any particular places that
you missed?
Take in? Yeah.
Absolutely. I think the next time you come back, we'll have to take you to Kike at the Rockefeller Estate because that's just a wonderful historic home that was the summer home to John D. Rockefeller, and it's a museum, and it's just got some beautiful furnishings and some beautiful paintings, and you know, and it's just really a great place to visit and see. They really take you through every room and give you an overview of their life and their philanthropic endeavors and all the things that they started and completed through all of their years with the family. It's beautiful.
Now,
it's really, really beautiful.
In terms of now at Purchase College, and where was that, by the way? I mean, in terms of Westchester, we weren't near it at all then, right?
Where, Kiket?
No, Purchase College.
Oh, Purchase. No, we were not. No, we were not. Purchase College. It's in a community of Purchase, which is Harrison, and it is it's close to White Plains, a few miles from White Plains. And also on the grounds of the Purchase College, which is a university, it's a performing, you know, a performing arts university.
Yeah,
it's it also has the Neuberger Museum there, which is an art museum. They have changing exhibits, and they also have a permanent collection of African American art that's there as well. And then across the way from it is the Performing Arts Center, which has five different theaters, and they have performances there.
What kind of performance would you expect there? Same type, not like.
I would say a little of everything. I've seen plays there. I've seen, you know, solo performers. I've seen, you know, female comedians. I've also seen musical performances, whether they be singular, double, or ensembles. It's orchestras I've seen there. So it's a mix of everything, all types of music.
Okay, so. But you're not going to see, are you going to see any named stars?
Yes, they have had named stars there in the past. I'm trying to, you know, to ask me to recall that at the moment, I'm just not going to be able to, but there are named stars that people would know. I mean, I've seen Lily Tomlin perform there. I'm trying to think of who was the last person that I just saw there that I just can't remember that I absolutely adore. A female entertainer, and I just can't think of who it was because the name escapes me at the moment. I just can't think of who it was. You know, I think it depends on the time of year and you know, who they can get, you know, that kind of thing, and who's on tour and who kind of, you know, comes through the area or is in the New York vicinity and that kind of thing, which is great. And they do a very good job there.
So, in other words, you have that place, you have the dinner theater. And
yep, the dinner theater that does plays.
Is there another one that you have in the theater?
There are theaters, not dinner theaters. The Westchester Broadway theater
no,
is the
just,
only dinner
no, theater.
No,
just the
yeah. theaters itself,
theater.
Yeah, we have the Paramount Center for the Arts in Peekskill. We have the Tarrytown Music Hall in Tarrytown. We have the Emlyn
right.
Theater in Mamaroneck. There is the I'm missing one, and I know I'm missing one. I can't think of it besides.
So purchase. You can, I mean, like you could do a weekend, and are you and none no, nothing is that far away from the next thing that
no.
you can't say. Let's
no.
spend a couple of days in Westchester.
Absolutely,
and,
within
and
15, 20 minutes, you can be anywhere.
And what would you say the best time to go is like in the summertime? We'll have most of.
Yes.
Theater?
I would say summertime. There are some places that do not do performances in the summer, which is the SUNY Performing Arts Center. They
mm-hmm.
don't do performances during July and August, but they do them during the course of the calendar, you know, the school year, I would say. But any time of year, you know, you can do anything. It just depends on what your interest is and the time of year that you really like to travel. I mean, even in the dead of winter, January, February, and March, you know, there are museums that are open. Maybe not as many as in season, which is usually from April through November, but they're open, and there's things to do, and, you know, it's just indoor activities, unless it's a nice, pleasant day during the winter, and you can do some stuff outside. But we market ourselves as a destination for all seasons, so right now, you know, we're open all year round, and we welcome anybody's business any time of year, and we... you know, want you to come and experience, you know, the Westchester way of traveling because we think it's something that you'll enjoy.
Well, let's get into the where we had dinner tonight, just in case everybody's having trouble calling in or whatever's going on. I'm not sure.
That's true.
So I want to talk about that dinner where we had the tasting.
That was a 7-course tasting.
Okay. So this time we had so we started.
Let's see if we can remember.
Yeah, who's got the menu? Do you have
the
menu?
Oh my gosh! I think you
I
do.
I have to go find the menu here.
My goodness!
All right.
It was. What was the? I can remember. Let's see. What can we remember?
Let's try again. Wait. Let me see if I can get. Okay, come on. Okay, do I have somebody on the air? Hello? Who do I have on the air? Somebody's calling in.
I know, I can hear it, but I don't know who it is.
I can hear. He's probably. It sounds like whoever it is having a conversation with somebody else. Hello? Hello, you're on the air. Yes, you are. Hello?
I can't hear anybody.
Now I don't hear.
No, I don't either.
But the phone number is still up here. Whoever it is didn't hang up.
They must be having trouble. Yeah, they must be having trouble getting through.
Oh, you know, it could be maybe their signal.
It could be.
Is not working, and then although the phone is still on, they probably. But I still kind of hear something in the background, a little bit. Hello?
Hello?
Who's this?
This is Travis from the Greenberg Nature Center.
Oh, Travis.
There he is.
Oh, there you are.
Is this Merle?
Yeah.
How are you doing?
You're on the air.
Oh, great. Thanks. Thank you.
So we talked a little bit about your place because we wanted to talk about the animals we pet, but... Now you can go into the whole thing and tell us all about Greenberg Nature Center.
Greenberg Nature Center is a nice little place located in Scarsdale, New York. We have about 33 acres of property, and we dedicate that property to conservation and education and sustainable living. And we do that in a couple of different ways. One is... the public's just free to come to visit our property and see the sustainable exhibits that we have and to see the live animals that we have. And they get very up close and personal with the animals, very hands-on. It's a very intimate feel. And then we'll also have programs that we teach to the either school groups or to the general public, ranging from water ecology to soil science to birds of prey shows. So we do a lot of different activities there to promote conservation.
So you have, first of all, there's the grounds itself that you can kind of walk around and enjoy.
Yeah, the grounds are actually this time of year quite lovely with the azaleas and the rhododendrons blooming. It's a really spectacular place. And if you know the area, it's right off of Central Avenue between Yonkers and White Plains. And Central is a great place, it's just very developed. But we're a nice little oasis of green space that people can come in and get away from the noise and the sounds and the sights and really take in the natural aspect of our surroundings.
And where are you, and I forgot to ask you, where are you getting the animals from other than the goat who was walking around the street?
Yeah, Billy's quite a big goat and kind of cute.
All of the animals come in with different stories. and some of the animals have longevities there much longer than mine, so I don't know all the details of them. Some of them are rescued animals. Some of them are non-releasable injured wildlife, wild animals that for whatever reason have an injury or condition that would prevent them from surviving on their own in the wild. And after a process of rehabilitation, they have been deemed non-releasable. So then we tend to them and use them as animal ambassadors. And then some of the other animals are are bred there. We don't do too much breeding of the animals there, and then some of them are just purchased.
And they're all adorable.
Well,
well I don't know.
I'm
although
kind of
I don't know whether I would call a bug adorable, but they were.
the bugs are great educational tools.
Yeah. Okay. And so how long has this place been there?
The Greenberg Nature Center has been in operation since 75, so about 30 years.
Oh, cool. Do you have any animal that's been there since you started?
Some of our tortoises have been there in excess of 20 years, 20 to 25 years.
Wow.
And some of our birds of prey have been there close to 20 years as well.
Oh, by the way, just so in case you hear another voice, we have another caller in, and I opened up his mic just to so he can be in here listening to the conversation.
Oh, great.
Earl, I'm gonna say goodnight.
Okay.
I'm gonna let the other guests get a little more airtime, but I want to thank you for coming to Westchester and visiting and learning all about the wonderful sites and attractions that we have, and I appreciate, and I want to thank all of our sites and restaurants and hotels for helping us to sponsor you, and I appreciate all the follow-up, and have a good evening, and we'll be in touch.
Okay.
All right.
Take
good
care.
Night, Merle. Take care, Travis.
Bye.
Good night, Kim. Nice meeting you.
Same here. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And just so we don't, so we know what's going on, who is the other person that I got on the air? Who's the other person I got on the air? Come on, fess up.
Hi, this is Jean-Claude Lange.
Okay, hang on, and just kind of listen. We're finishing where I, even though I have you on the air, we're talking about the Greensburg Nature Center. So just kind of listen in on it, and then I'll, you know, okay?
Okay.
Okay, hang. So you were saying that the tortoise has been like the one that's been around the longest, that since you started, since the place was there?
Yes, one of the tortoises whose house name is Bigfoot, and he's been there. He's somewhere in the neighborhood of about 50 years old, is our best guess. He's been at the Nature Center for close to 20 or 25 years.
And tell us about the thing. Tell me about the goat that's on the property.
We currently have a goat in with our domestic animal barnyard exhibit, who shares the area with some turkeys and sheep. The goat's name is Billy. He is a boar goat, which is a meat goat from Africa. But he came to us via a phone call from the Greenberg Police several years back, when they found him just wandering down the middle of Central Avenue. So they gave us a call, and we went over there and picked him up, and he's living a nice,
walking
healthy life.
Walking down Central Avenue, huh?
Exactly, taking a stroll.
Yeah, and the police yelled out, "Hey, you lost your kid."
Exactly. Yeah. And that kid's continued to grow into a 200-plus pound.
Wow.
Ago, and he tries to push his way around with newcomers, but he's a good guy.
Yeah. So now, I didn't ask, what is the cost to come to the to your place?
Children under two are free, and above that you're looking at $6. $7 for adults and $5 for kids.
And I guess you get a lot of, like, birthday parties, huh?
We do a number of different programs. We do private birthday parties, and that's where the birthday kid and family and friends can come in and book one of our rooms for a couple hours, and one of our in-house naturalists will normally bring down a number of animals and do a private animal show. And we have other themes as well. We can do a pond ecology party or a scavenger hunt party. And then we also bring in school groups as well, and they take a field trip to the Nature Center and learn about any number of our conservation and natural programs.
And ranging from
apple cidering to maple sugaring to
cool.
to gardening, organic gardening.
Do you have a website?
We do, and it's www.greenbergnaturecenter.org. And that's all one word.
Okay, that's great. And when I come back up to Westchester, I'll come back to maybe pet another animal.
Yeah, come on by and I'll help you. You can help me feed the birds of prey and meet the hawks and the owls a little bit closer next time.
Okay, I'll do that then.
Yeah.
All right, I appreciate, Travis, I appreciate you calling in and telling us about this.
Well, thank you so much for coming by and visiting, and hopefully we will see you again, and enjoy your evening.
Okay, you too.
Thanks so much.
Bye. So, I guess now we're going to talk about my dinner tonight, aren't we?
I guess so.
Yeah. So, before I get, I mean, like, it's not, this was at the, it's 80 West, that's the name of the restaurant, and it's located at the Renaissance Hotel in White Plains.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, and the one thing, I just want to point out to everybody, the one thing I liked particular about the hotel is the whole area where the restaurant or catering and that whole everything is completely separate from where the rooms are. Like
yeah,
you got to walk.
True.
Yeah, there's like a bridge kind of thing to walk over. And so, well, you know, like when all the noise is going on, let's say, from the main part of a hotel and the ballrooms and stuff, well, things, you're not dealing with that. I mean, you may have your next door, the person, your neighbor making noise, but you're not to deal with
that.
And that's another story. But so let's. What I want to do is I want to get into the food. Kim and I were commenting about in terms of doing food tasting and how it deals with your mind and your palate. That when you're having tastings, you're having small amounts of food and you're tasting, because you're tasting it and getting the whole sense of it more, you really get full faster. I mean, because, and I was saying, in reality, I mean, it looked like we had a lot of food. But in reality, we would have had more food if we were at a buffet.
That's really true. Yeah.
But
you know, I mean, you have like about like 7 course, you know. So even though if it's a small portion, you know, it's just, you know, you fill up pretty fast.
Yeah. And we started off actually having a New York wine. Isn't that nice?
I love that wine.
Yeah.
I
like that, the Chardonnay that I had. It went down very smooth. That was a good choice.
Yeah.
So let's go into I'm not looking at the menu. So but let's go into the tasting of what we had. We started off, I mean, it's better that you describe than I describe. Go ahead.
Yeah, you start with a smoked salmon, and we call it smoked salmon potato nacho with a tangy pepper sauce. Actually, the smoked salmon I purchased from a good friend of mine. He's in a Peekskill, and he's making his own smoked salmon right there. So it's very good.
And it was, what was it in? It was in a potato, what was it?
It's a potato chips.
Potato chips, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, very simple. And then the sauce, it was made with a sour cream, lemon, salt, pepper, some dill, and cilantro.
Yeah. Okay, next. I'm going to be drooling, by the way, as we talk, but that, you know, at least nobody could see me. So the next thing, the crab? See if I got this.
Yeah, the next thing is, that's a big hit actually on our menu right now. We just changed our menu about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a crab meat, and it's seasoned with olive oil and lemon, and it's served with a heart of palm, and there's some meat grain and avocado.
Mm.
So same thing, it's so simple, but the combination of that avocado, the crab.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was, yes. Okay, what else? There were two, those were the two appetizers. Oh, no, there was a third thing.
It was the third one.
The third one was the foie gras.
It was foie gras with the blueberry, and then the blueberry was cooked in balsamic reduction, and then with a sweet vermouth.
And the foie, it was on like a toast, right?
Yeah, it's like a croque monsieur, you know, it's like a ham and cheese sandwich, but
yeah,
with a French twist, you put the foie gras in there.
It was, by the way, it was excellent. The thing that I liked about it, it wasn't an extremely rich foie gras, you know what I mean? It was great. I mean, like, both on the palate and, you know, in terms of, and the consistency. So it was really nice. And to have that, and the combinations of the crunch of the bread, so to speak,
yes.
You know, was perfect. Okay, so those were the three appetizers.
The three appetizers, yeah. And then after that, you had a chicken. Actually, it was a brown chicken that was served with a risotto with the wild mushrooms.
And how was it made?
Well, we brine the chicken. That means we put in a water solution with the salt and pepper for about like overnight. So when you cook the chicken, it keeps its moisture. So it's very, very moist, very tender, so you never get dry.
Right. You're talking about you're doing this with the whole chicken or the white meat, the chicken breast?
No, just the chicken breast.
Just the chicken breast and doing this.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Gives me an idea of more cooking. Mm-hmm. Well, that's why it tasted, it was so nice. And what was it on top of? What was underneath?
It was a risotto.
Mm-hmm.
And with the wild mushrooms. It was a mix of different mushrooms I got from the Hudson Valley.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next thing was...
Then the next thing was...
seafood.
It's very much like a French bouillabaisse, but it was... You know, what we do is pick a piece of fish, you know, and today I use the monkfish, salmon, and mussels. And then you cook that in a saffron fish broth, and with two sides of potato, some garlic, and then that's it. Just boil like for a few minutes, and you get your dish ready.
By the way, the mussels, are they cultured mussels?
I'm sorry?
Are they cultured, the mussels? I mean, are they farm-raised or...
You know, all my seafood, I purchased my seafood from Boston. A place called Folly Fish Market, which is the best, you know, you can find on the market. And they are farm raised. They are from the George Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the mung came out very well.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's very light. Yeah.
And then the...
And then
third.
You get the lamb.
And it was like lamb in curry?
It was lamb flavored with curry. And then it was served with pancake polenta and broccolini.
Oh, I thought it was broccolini. I was, as I'm eating and I'm saying, you know, first I thought, this is not broccoli, because I, you know, first I thought it was broccoli rabe. And then I said, but, you know, this tastes like broccoli, yes.
Yeah, it is broccolini. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was really good. And despite being full at that point.
I know. I try to refresh you with a little salad I found that.
Oh,
that
the salad. Salad, yes. Oh, I almost forgot about that salad. That was. It was. It wasn't a big salad. I just want people to know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you
it was a small.
Yeah.
It was a baby arugula and frisée? Is that what
and
else?
And frisée, yes, yes.
Frisée. And it had...
they have that cheese. It's an Irish Brie blue cheese.
I was wondering about that because I was commenting to Kim about that it wasn't such a, and I have the strong blue cheese. I
no,
said
it's
it was
not.
Really
yeah,
nice
yes,
and mild. Nice
up. Yes, yes, it is.
And
yeah,
and now that you said it like Brie, yeah, it had that outside.
Mm-hmm.
The way Brie is, you know, yeah, and it was on like a toast point.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, which added to it. It was just nice, and it wasn't a toast point that was extremely crunchy either. It was
no,
just,
yeah,
just soft enough, you know, toasted and soft enough to have that.
Yeah,
but then there was the final dessert.
The lava cake, yes.
How did now? I have to ask you, because this is what I hear often with the lava cake. Do you make it from scratch?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Because you know, I'm asking this. The only reason I'm asking is a lot of places you can buy these lava cakes. You can buy them, it's like a mix or there's a something that, you know, it's already in a package and you just do whatever you have to do and you make them. And they all look alike.
Yeah,
and yours didn't look the same. And I went, maybe he makes his own.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
And my question is, because I'm a chocoholic, so I'm going to ask you, what chocolate are you using for the lava cake?
Oh, I use a Belgian chocolate.
But it's not Calibo.
It is.
It's Calibo.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sometimes, because there seems to be another Belgian chocolate out there that people are saying they're using. But I know Calibo very well.
Oh, you know, I've been working with Calibo for like 30 years, and it's just an incredible chocolate.
Yeah. Well, but I also have to say that, because I have learned so much about chocolate, it's now, because a lot of times you can go into some stores and you can buy these chunks of Calibo chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they're all not the same because there are grades of Calibo chocolate.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. So, you know, you're not necessarily going to get the same. And my feeling is the Calibo chocolate that you get in the stores, the chunks there are a lower grade because I don't think people are going to buy that to make the kind of things you're making. They're going to buy that to just, you know, to make chocolate, but, you know, to make chocolate items.
Yeah. No, I buy the Calibo, it comes like 2 kilo, one block. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that. I once actually bought that, a whole thing of that, and I didn't melt any of it. I just had like little pieces and let it last as long as it could. and that was really great. And the vanilla ice cream. I forgot to even ask you. Do you make your own ice cream?
No, I don't have any.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Not.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Do you get local? Is it local?
Yeah,
no?
Actually, yeah. It's a Longfort ice cream.
Oh, okay.
It's made here. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so which means it's not an ice cream that's, it's not like, you know, the tub of ice cream. You know what I mean? It's not like,
it's
Turkey Hill or anything like that, you know.
No.
But that was absolutely fabulous. It was such a wonderful dinner. It really was.
Well, thank you so much.
And it was a pleasure to have a tasting like that. You know, pleasure on the palate. My brain is so satisfied. My stomach is probably not going to even want breakfast tomorrow morning. will still be full. You know, but here's what happens with me. After eating like this, what happens is that when I'm dealing with the next meal, it's like, oh, I don't know what I want to have. It's not going to taste as good as what I just had.
Well, you know, the good news, we are open for breakfast tomorrow morning.
Are you?
Yes.
Well, they're making me eat here. So I just, I guess I'm going to have the buffet breakfast over here at the hotel and try to have something that's like the good for me, you know, so to speak. tell everybody, oh yeah, did you introduce yourself? I don't think you did.
No, maybe
and
not.
Tell
no.
everybody your name and what position you are at this at the restaurant. So everybody's probably going, so who the hell is that person?
Yeah, I'm sure everybody said, oh, he's French. Anyway,
yeah.
My name is Jean-Claude Lanchet. I'm the executive chef at the Renaissance Westchester Hotel. And then I've been here for 15 years, and that's just...
Wow.
Love to be here every day, yeah.
Do you also deal with the catering? Or
of course,
that's
yeah.
I'm
the executive, so I'm the number one. I do everything.
Oh, okay.
Purchasing, catering, restaurant, bars, you name it.
And just so people also understand, there's a completely different thing from a catering menu and having dinner. Because there are items you can't... make 50 of them at one time and expect them to all come out hot and et cetera, and whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is true, but you know what?
It's not that they're not good. It's just they're different. When you're making decisions on what you could do for catering, you're making the decision based upon putting so many out at one time item.
Yeah, is it true? But what I do with the catering, it's every dish comes out of that catering is look like a restaurant dish.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. And that's the reason we are probably the number one in Westchester on catering business. I mean, we do social, we do weddings, bar mitzvah every week, after week, after week. People come for the food. That's what it is.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
so
incredible.
Now, as far as like a website, should people go to the Renaissance or is there a website of 80 West?
We have two websites. They can go to the www.renaissancehotel.com or we have our own website for the restaurant, which is www.80westrestaurant.com.
Now it's 80, and you're not spelling the word 80. It's 80, right?
It's 80,
yeah.
W-E-S-T, restaurant.com.
Yeah, okay. All right. I so appreciate your calling in. I would say you're making me hungry, but I'm still full. But
no,
when I replay this, it'll make me hungry. That's what'll happen.
There you go.
Okay.
Anyway, it was nice to have you tonight. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
And I'll be back.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Well, I hope the rest of you didn't drool. At least if you did, not over your computer or anything. This was had a good show. Right now I'll get back on at some point onto the site itself and give a better description. I had to do this like the last minute to get the show up, so I didn't really give a big description and the tags and everything else that I needed, but I'll get to that. And the next show that I'll be doing, I may be doing at least two or three shows between Tuesday and Monday, because I'm going off to North Carolina and I'm going to see, try to like do a show in Charlotte and maybe one in Pinehurst and then maybe one in Raleigh. And so hopefully I won't have to do this the last minute. So everybody, what? All right. She just wanted to tell everybody to have a great evening, day, or whatever it is. And I'll be back again and with another show. Bye.